All right, you can take a seat. So my name's Dustin. I was lucky enough to be a part of this team over this last week. And before Phil talks to some of the team members about their specific experiences and just how everybody has seen God move, I want to give an overview and a reminder for some of y'all who may not remember exactly what it was we were doing down there the whole time. Why did we go? There were four kind of main things that we did, and we spread those out throughout the week. The first of those was manual labor at the Life Center. Work costs money, and one of the big ways that we can bless the Life Center down there is by simply pitching in and doing some work. So we did some painting. We put together some rebar. I'm sorry, I'm a little out of breath, and I've got a cold still, so having a little trouble breathing. Maybe I need to sit down. we put together some rebar. We did a lot of painting. We dug. Oh, that's very nice of you, Dan. Thank you so much. We dug a ditch for a wall. Security is important, keeping the kids safe, and there's a whole side of the compound that doesn't have a wall up. It also is a kind of a drop-off right into a road, so we dug a ditch for them, and they also have a septic tank they're trying to put in for a new building, and we did some work digging out that very, very deep pit. So manual labor, that was a big way we could bless them. That was one thing we did, and that was kind of through the middle of the week. That was our mornings. That's what we spent our time doing. Next thing was just showing the love of Jesus to the kids at the Life Center, letting them know that they're important to Jesus, and so therefore they're important to us, and getting to know them, spending time with them. We did some sports, just playing soccer, playing some frisbee, doing some dancing. We got to go swimming with them on Sunday, which was a really cool way to kind of kick off the week and get to know them a little bit. So yeah, just spending time with them, and then we had some dinner with them a couple of nights, and we're able to really just get to know them, play some games, that kind of thing. The third thing was showing Jesus' love to needy people in some neighboring villages. And as you'll hear, I'm sure there's some major need out there, and so we were able to partner primarily with one local pastor in a little village called Tepiquilares. And we were able to go into some homes and just pray for these people, hear a little bit about their story, and just spread the gospel with some who are not believers, and let them know that, you know, hey, we're here because Jesus rescued us, and Jesus can rescue you too. And to hand out some food, which was a really big blessing to them, and just to pray and to lift up some of our brothers and sisters who are there, who are believers and are just really in need, to lift up their needs to Jesus together. And that was a big blessing for them, and maybe even more so for us. And then the fourth thing was spreading the gospel to children through Sidewalk Sunday School, is what we called it. So we went into three different smaller villages. We were in some small little churches, as Jill mentioned, with some tin roofs, and were able to do that dance that you saw and a couple others, and a little skit that we had prepared that Lizzie wrote, which was awesome. Just tell the kids that Jesus loves them, and a little story about how Jesus said, you know, the kingdom of God belongs to such as you, to children. So that was a really cool opportunity, and then we got to paint some nails and braid some hair and throw the frisbee and play some soccer and just spend some time with the kids as well. So those were the four main ways that we were kind of there to engage all people. And then we also were able to just experience some authentic community within the team. So we had a lot of time riding on the bus. I had a lot of fun with Ocho.
Ocho.
And just a really good time building that bond between us, the church, and serving together and getting to know each other better. So that was an overview of kind of what we did down there. And each day would look a little bit different. But, you know, for example, we would spend a morning doing work, manual labor, and then we'd come back, shower real quick, maybe take a 10-minute nap, and then we'd head out to a village to do a Sidewalk Sunday School. That was kind of what the trip looked like, and I'll pass it over to Phil now, and he'll dive a little deeper into some specific experiences.
Thanks, Dustin. Let me pray for us, and love for you to hear from seven people. I'd love to have everyone up here. But you hear from seven people of what God did in and through them. Yeah, Jesus, we love you. Thank you that God, thank you that you're so much bigger than we can even hope or imagine. You can do so much more than us, and yet you choose to use us. Even while we were still enemies, you chased us down and rescued us. And so, God, I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for just the time we got to spend, the 24 of us down in Honduras. I'm grateful that we aren't in charge of the seed growing, that we're called to scatter and water seeds. You're the one that makes it grow. And God, I'm thankful for the work you've done in my life and the work you're doing in the 24 of us, but also the work you're doing in your local church here and around the world. And so we praise you for that, God. In your name, amen. When we got down to Honduras, we had a devotion every morning. And we started the week talking about rest. And we shared a verse. I want to read from Ephesians 3, a verse we shared. Because everyone walked into the week with different burdens and carrying something new or something old. And we wanted God to do a work not only in our hearts, but the hearts of others, but like the overflow of our lives spill out on others, good or bad. And so let me read from Ephesians 3, starting in verse 14. It says, "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with the inner strength from his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great for full understanding. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So I want you to sort of meet about a third of our crew. And we're going to start maybe with a question. Just so, why did you actually leave the comforts of the United States and go to a third world country, Honduras? So why take vacation or time off in the summer and do that? So there's a microphone over here. Is there a mic? Y'all have a microphone? Okay. So why go? Why go, Harrison? Green means go. Push it up.
All right. I'll be honest. Like, before I went, I didn't really have a solid reason to go. I was kind of just told I was going. But it was really worth it. It was really a powerful trip, and I'm just really glad I went.
Brad?
I went because I had never been on a missions trip. I wanted my kids to go with me.
So you're the one that told him to go.
I was the one that told him to go. Yes. I just think I thought it would be a good experience for myself and them, and I wasn't wrong. It impacted me a lot more than I was expecting, and why I went was I just felt like we needed to go. I don't have anything more elaborate than that.
Okay. Cool. Grant, how about you?
Yeah, I had never been on a missions trip before, and so that's I always had a desire for it, and I was driving home from work one day, and my wife called me out of the blue.
Put that up a little bit more, like an ice cream cone.
Yeah.
There you go.
Is that better?
Yeah, look.
My wife called me out of the blue and was like, "Hey, I was praying and I feel like God just said, you know, you need to go on a missions trip." I was like, "Are you sure? I mean, the kids probably need to be a little older. You know, we have a 1-year-old and a 4-year-old, so that's a lot for one person for a whole week." And so I followed what she said and called Phil. I was like, "Hey, I think I want to go on a missions trip. I think God wants me to go." And I thought it'd be next year. But God made a way, and he opened a door, and he's used it. It's been great. But that kind of started it. Okay. So, yeah.
Cool.
So this is my second missions trip. I went in 2019, 4 years ago. I wanted to see how different it was 4 years ago than today. I pretty much want to see how my 15-year-old self saw it differently than my 11-year-old self.
Mm. Cool. You can hold it.
Does this work? Yeah. For me, it was like we serve so much as a church, and we do a lot, or at least, you know, my family and I do a lot locally, and so I kind of wanted to go and do it in a different place and do it internationally, and I wanted to do it with my child. I thought it was, you know, I would love for all my children to eventually do it, but she was the one who was of age and could actually go, and I thought it would be great to do it with her and have her experience that.
Mm, cool. Happy birthday yesterday, Naya. We aren't going to say... We did sing to her a few times. 13.
For me, I didn't have an exact reason for going, like Harrison, but someone told me that you should pray not to, like, oh, God, should I go? Like, God, I'm going. Like, hold me back if you don't think this is the best. So I did that, and God opened up an opportunity for me to go.
That's great. Ocho, what about you?
That's my new name, Ocho. but I went to the first meeting because I was going to get information for Larissa, which I knew she wanted to go. And so as I sat there and listened, I felt the Spirit move, and I said, I'm going. And when I got home, I said, I should have prayed about that before I made the decision. And then immediately the Spirit said, no. I think it's James that says religion I can't remember exactly how the scripture goes, but serving orphans and widows. And I said, yep, that's confirmation. Sometimes we want to pray and pray and pray, but, you know, it's clear in the word. Mm-hmm. So
hey, praise God. So you either go or send, right? And so we praise God for those who sent prayers and also sent financial. We had over 130 people give financially. We had a goal of $49,000. And we exceeded that by $4,000. We praise God for that. And not only do you send, but like spouses send. I know, Grant, you're married and have two little kids. And so Sarah and her kids sent. So my wife, like, you guys support us in sending us as well. So we're grateful for that. What surprised you guys? So we can popcorn around. Whoever wants to answer. Like, you have one expectation going on. It surprised you. Like, what surprised you on the trip?
I'll start. What surprised me was how much it impacted me, honestly. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect that. Given the work that I do here and working with needy people here in the States, I didn't expect to go into those villages and have such an impact. It's like indescribable. I can't even really articulate in words exactly how it is to go into some of these villages when we were doing our home visits and to see the level of need, but also the level of joy these people had, right? I mean, living in the worst conditions that we would think of as the worst conditions, right? Like with health issues, dirt floors, tin roofs, no clothes. Like there's this little boy who had no clothes and just flies all around his body. And I thought about my children, right? But they had so much joy, and they talked about how God was good, and they were just so welcoming. And like, if we were inconvenienced here in the States, we wouldn't want anybody in our home. We would be like, stay away from me, you know, all this stuff. And they just were like, come sit with us. You know, even if they didn't have like chairs like we would have, or, you know, just like, come sit with us. And they just wanted to hear what we had to say. That was just so surprising to me, and it just so impactful. You just have to go because you have to experience it. I can't describe it.
Yeah, I think we were having a debrief. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday. Mm-hmm. I mentioned something about we were at a village doing a sidewalk Sunday school. And I was trying to, you know, I don't have very good Spanish, you know, yet, no Espanol. But you know, I caught myself, you know, I was like, man, I really want to, you know, say something encouraging to this kid or say Jesus loves them, but I couldn't. And then I kind of stopped me in my tracks because it's like, well, why do I all of a sudden feel this way when I'm all the way in Honduras? So where's this urgency or desire coming from? Why am I not like this in the States? And I think God really convicted me there and was like, hey, your mission field isn't one week a year. It's here too, in the States. And so that's something that really surprised me. You know, God really showed me that. And I hope that, you know, through the power of his Spirit that, you know, this is the mission field, and I'm going to hopefully have the same urgency and desire there. Mm. Yeah.
A lot of my expectations were, like, shattered during this trip, but, like, one of them was seeing how faithful some of the people were who knew Christ there. During the home visits, there's this one woman that I think impacted all of us. Mm-hmm. She had, like, 7 children, was it? Yeah. One of her, like, her 17-year-old son was killed, and she was able to forgive the person who killed them because that was what Christ wanted her to do. And just, like, it was so eye-opening to see how, like, she had so much less than we did in, like, worldly stuff, worldly things, but next to faith, we're the ones to be pitied. Mm. So.
That's a good word. And that woman, we sort of put people on the spot, walk into these, all right, so we'd like you to pray, like, present Christ's point, introduce ourselves, and also we'd like you to pray. And I'd ask Grant, like, could you encourage this family and with a good word? And God gave him a word and gave him, like, Philippians. And as this woman didn't cry at all when she was talking about her children and the ones she lost in forgiveness, but she wept when he shared Philippians because she said, I knew, like, God told me you were coming, and I'm so grateful to God for you and the word of God. Yeah. Brad, what do you think? What surprised you?
I think what surprised me is how emotionally, I wasn't ready emotionally. I wasn't expecting it to affect me like it did. That was my big surprise.
So what, like, talk to us a little bit about that.
What was it, Friday morning, I believe, we went to Henov, who defied families in the community, and the first one we went to, I was in the back of the room. They're small houses, so there's 24 people, and I couldn't really hear what was being said, and all of a sudden, you guys called me up to come pray for her, and I'm thinking, why me? But it turns out she was a diabetic, and I'm a diabetic, so I could relate to her in that way. And when I got in the room, she did not look good. Personally, I don't think she had much longer to live. I don't know what other complications she had, but I knew the feeling she was going through from a diabetic perspective, so I prayed for her. And I can't, and I don't mean to make it all about me, but I can't put it into words. I had to leave the room because I just lost it. I expected to cry, but not, as they say, ugly cry. I couldn't control it, so I had to go outside. And I've had time to think about it now, and I think it's because I'm truly realizing what God has called us to do and how miserable I am at doing it. But yet, like, they gave examples of the faith that people had there. I compared the one lady that Naya was talking about. If you could put a monetary value on faith, she's the Elon Musk of faith, in my opinion. And I am not even close. Those are the kind of things that really impacted me. And I could go on and on with stories. And there was a lot. If you, I think everyone should go. I wish we could take the whole church, like, right now.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's hard to put into words, like Lottie said.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe what impacted me. I mean, a lot of things impacted me. It was just a wonderful, wonderful experience. And I've always wanted to do a mission trip. And, you know, I'm getting up in age, and I am up in age. and God provided the opportunity. And I'm so grateful that I went. what really, really impacted me. I've seen poverty because I've been in the Dominican Republic. I am from Puerto Rico. I've seen poverty. But what really impacted me is this team. I'm an abused woman. I was abused. These men show me that I can trust men again. They're godly. They gave of themselves. They were so sweet to me. I mean, they carried my bags. They did everything that they could to make my deep impact. And I am so grateful. I thank God that I can trust men again, godly men. Because they were beautiful. They were awesome. Thank you.
What surprised you, Harrison?
I think for me the saddest part was like what didn't surprise me, because I've been to, this is my first missions trip, but I've been to a third world country before, and so I came in kind of like expecting the worst, and it was as bad as I was expecting, and that was just really sad. But I think what was really encouraging was just the faith and the joy that the people had, even in like the worst situations.
Hmm. Yeah. How about it, Ian? What jumped out at you? Because you've been twice, right? This is the second time.
I was surprised at how well those kids are willing to accept us, even though we're from a first world country. They live in a third world country. Some of them have been abused from a young age, haven't been at the Life Center long, and then they the second they saw us, we just got like tackled by them. I mean, like, then we took out a bunch of soccer balls, frisbee, played in this soccer court with, like, walls around it. So, like, there was no out of bounds. People were, like, kicking it off the walls to get goals.
Hmm.
Yeah, and it was just a lot of fun. I was just surprised in how well they accepted us.
Hmm. A lot of things surprised me. Two things really stopped, but this is the third time I've gone, and the first was, like, grateful to have Lottie and Carmen, who are bilingual, to be able to translate. And so we would go in and pray at homes. I love the home visits. We visited 10 homes. There was one home that had a man at the house. The other nine did not. And the question was, where are the men? And it was interesting because this man, when he walked in, we heard his story. He was leading his family. Like, he loved God. He followed God. And we have pictures of it. But, like, when we asked to pray for him, I mean, he came down and he got on his knees, right? And his little boy's here. His wife's here. And we prayed over him, right? He was leading his family. He was loving his family, but it was because Jesus had loved him, and he understood the sacrifice that Jesus made, that it's a gift. It's a gift. And the second thing that struck me was, like, the gospel. It's like that we're called to scatter seed in water, but God will make it grow. We went to a family. There were three girls and a mom. The three girls were saved and went to church. The mom was not saved. These younger girls. There was a girl, she was 14, and one of the prayers was that God would protect, because the pastor was there telling us the story, God would protect this 14-year-old girl because there was an older man that was pursuing her. And so we prayed for the family. And then Carmen, like, she's sharing the gospel. Every time, like, she's sharing the gospel. And this woman, the thing that struck me was this woman didn't receive it. Scattered seed, water it. She chose not to receive the gospel. We often celebrate that, but like we often don't talk about the ones who don't receive it. But it's not our job to make, we can't make people. God's the one that makes it grow. But I'm so proud of the team being like so raw and vulnerable just to move into these situations And I think, Grant, you said it, like, our mission field, when we landed, we got back really late, right? We didn't get to sleep till like 1 or something like that. Some people didn't wash their shirts. Some people don't have shirts. But God is so big, and he's so good. And when we landed, I said, we're home. And then Dustin texts, like, we're back to our mission field. We're back to our mission field. Because our mission field isn't just there, it's everywhere we are. So we've talked a little bit about this, but let's talk a little bit more about, like, so what did you experience or see that impacted you? And follow-up to that is, how would you like this experience to change you? Because you can experience something, but, like, does it really change you? And so, yeah.
I know we've talked a lot about their stories and, you know, the villages and everything, but just, like, something else was like the rhythm of life. Mm-hmm. And Phil and I talked a lot about this while we were there, that even though we were incredibly busy and like going from morning to like, you know, evening all day long, it still seemed like a slower pace and rhythm of life than what I'm used to here. And I just hope, and my prayer is that I can somehow still find a way to do that here.
Mm.
Because everything here is go, 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 you know, and it's constant. And it was just so refreshing to just be, you know, and not have to strive so much. And so my prayer and hope for all of us is that we can do that more here, that not everything is so, you know, not everything has to be done right this second.
Mm. That's a good word.
And you can still be incredibly impactful. Like, we're all talking about how impactful the trip was, and that's at a slower pace of life.
Yeah, Jesus walked everywhere he went. He was unhurried, right? Yeah. Sometimes he stayed and let people die.
So I kind of jumped a gun and explained what impacted me the most on the last question. But the second part of that question is, how do I want it to change me? I've grown up in church and gone to youth conferences, and you get this high. You know, you're in a conference over the weekend, and then Monday hits, and it's just like forgotten. That emotional high is gone. I feel the same about this, but I don't want the feeling to go away. That realization of how miserable I am at doing what God's calling me to do, I want it to change me. I want it to continue and not be just a high that I got over the week. I want the feeling to continue on. And I guess that's what I'm trying to say is, to let it truly change me. And time will tell. I can say all I want to that it's going to change me, but ask me that in a year, and hopefully I can say, yes, it did change me. Mm. In a year as we're going back, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
There were a lot of things that impacted me, but one of them that stuck out was at the beginning of the week, I was in the Life Center, and I just didn't really know what to do. Everyone was doing their own thing, like running around. And I was looking around, and there are these interns that have been staying there for a while now, and they had all these connections with the kids, like even though some of them didn't speak Spanish either. And then as I neared towards the end of the week, I realized I still have connections like that. I was able to make connections like that, even though I didn't spend as long of a time there with them. And I still made an impact on the kids because they would, like, wave goodbye. They called my name. They're like, bye, Naya. Happy birthday, Naya. And so it just reminds me that just no matter how long you're there with someone, all it takes is for you to try and for you to pursue them to create an impact. And making an impact is what is really important.
Mm. Amen.
It really impacted me. What I said before impacted me, but also the fact that in this country we tend to thrive on what we can get, you know, big houses, cars, material stuff. And if you see these people, they have nothing, absolutely nothing. And as something that I want to keep with me, because I have the tendency of going to someone's house or see someone's house and says, how come I don't have that, you know? Mm. And so I want to be more grateful. I want to be more grateful for everything that God has blessed me with, because we have an abundance in this country compared to them.
Hmm. I think for me, the biggest thing that impacted me was just seeing where our money goes. Because, you know, we have a lot of generous people here at this church, and, like, we all, when we tithe and stuff, we don't really see exactly where our money goes. And so for me, like, going on this trip and seeing, like, how our money impacts kids in Honduras was, it was just, it, like, impacted me in, like, a really, and then, like, all the people there, like, the last night, we had some sponsors there, and just, we saw a ton of other groups there in Honduras, and, you know, it was just really cool to see all the people who were, like, willing to, like, leave America or leave the United States and go and, like, help kids and communities in Honduras, because, I mean, I just feel like in America, we don't really see people using their money in the best ways. And so it was just really encouraging to see all these people who really loved God and really wanted to show that and help the communities in Honduras.
How does that stick here? Like, you take that, but what does that look like to make that stick? I don't know if you know that yet or not, but
I don't know, I guess, like, just being like thinking about your money more and how you spend it and how you can help the people, even if it's not going to Honduras, just showing God's love here with your money.
Amen. Yeah. Thanks, man.
What impacted me the most was the intense poverty seen throughout the entire country and how they can still make do with what they have. Like, us in America have our first world problems, like my shirt has a hole in it.
And it stinks too. I'm just kidding, you washed it.
No, I washed it. I can't find my
mom washed
sock.
It.
Yeah, mom washed it.
Yeah.
My shirt has a hole in it. I can't find my other sock. We're out of gumballs in the gumball machine. Those are all American problems. They're dealing with, like, what am I going to eat tonight? Am I safe enough in my home? What if my dad leaves me, and what am I going to do then? But they still glorify the Lord through all of that, and we complain about our little things that we have. I think it's just saying that we need to be more grateful with what we have in America.
Amen. Cool. Grant?
Yeah, kind of what I said earlier, I may have answered the question, but I'll expound on it a little bit. I think that, you know, the lady that we all mentioned, you know, I think what impacted me the most is just their faith. You know, they don't have anything. Everything's stripped away. Here, we're deluded or just over-encumbered by so many things and distractions that our faith can kind of just, it can be overwhelmed almost to where it's not authentic. It's based on those things. But when we went there and God gave me a word, I didn't really know, you know. Bill was like, hey, you know, do you have a verse? I'm like, well, this just popped in my mind, but, you know, I didn't think much of it. I was like, well, I mean, yeah, we'll share that. And that's exactly what she needed. And, you know, God's word's enough. I think God taught me that. You don't have to have fancy words or things. We just need God and his word.
Amen.
That's all we need.
That's right. It crosses every language. It unites us. It's alive. It transforms us. I got two more questions, but, like, no, not everyone has to answer this one. But, like, where did you see God move? Where did you see God move?
Yeah. I think of the last night when we, it was, I think, all the sponsors were there, and all the kids, they prepared some songs for us, and they sang, and it wasn't well orchestrated. It was they had some technical difficulties and trying to get all the 29 kids or 28 kids, you know, organized. But there was something about them singing and us singing in English, but they're singing in Spanish. There was something really cool about that. And it was authentic. It was real. And I really enjoyed that part of it. Yeah, God was, we were worshiping God. Amen. It was awesome.
Yeah.
To add off of what he was saying, that night, they also, a couple of us came up stage and we started singing the song Rest on Us, which was apparently the only song that all the kids knew in English, even the ones who didn't speak English. And so it was like everyone singing. Like the house was so loud. It was really beautiful. Everyone just praising the Lord.
On Friday, we went to distribute food to some of the most poverty and problemed families. And there was this one family. It was a little boy, a grandmother, and a mom. And the grandmother told us that the little boy couldn't go to school because he was supposed to go to kindergarten, but he wasn't too old, so he couldn't go to the local school. And there was another one that would take him, but it was far away, and he didn't have transportation to go to that school. And when Phil heard that, he then told the kid that we are going to send that kid to school all the way up through high school so that he can go to school, get an education, and hopefully have a better life.
We.
I saw God move Sunday night when we went to, I don't remember the name of the church.
Rock
we
of
went.
Salvation.
Yeah. It struck me on, and I think I mentioned this at one time, how we as Americans can tend to think we have a monopoly on Christianity. We know how to do it. We do it the right way. It should be done this way. And that's so far from the truth, it's not even funny. Because honestly, when we walked into that church, what was it, 120 degrees in there?
It was hot.
It was hot. Had that been in America, people wouldn't show up for that, sit in that kind of heat. But they're probably used to it, I guess. And B, it was no deterrent for them. And as they were singing, I think it was Amazing Grace, they sang a verse in English for us. That impacted me that they went through the trouble to do that. But just to see a different perspective of how a worship service or church service is done, God moves no matter where you meet. I thought God moved in that church service.
We worship for an hour. It was so good. Anyone else? Like, where you saw God move?
I saw how he moved in us. When we went to the villages, Phil, I think you asked someone to present the team. You will present the team. My granddaughter is pretty shy about stuff like that. She did it.
Lizzie.
I was so proud of her. She presented the team. I'm sorry, I'm crying today. But she presented the team, and I said, you know, God can move in us and can change us. So at the beginning of the week, she didn't want to share. She was kind of withdrawn. She was involved in everything, but she didn't want to share in our devotionals and that. But towards the end, she was really into it.
Yeah. Cool. Last question. So what would you tell someone who's never been?
To go. Go. Plan for it next year if you can.
Yeah. Why?
I mean, again, we can share all day long, but there's something about being there that's just different. And you can see pictures, you can see videos, you can hear our stories, but to actually experience it is completely different. And I would just encourage you, to go, to get out your comfort zone and go.
Brush up on your soccer skills, because if you don't, you will be wasted.
If they call it football.
Football.
Then you know you're in trouble.
I think I would really encourage people to go because I feel like in America, you know, being a Christian is easy. Like, it really is. So you can like, go to church, and it's comfortable, and there's good music and stuff like that. And we can, it's easy to say you're a Christian. Like, no one's, it's not like other countries where you're, persecuted. And people claim they're persecuted in America, but no one's really persecuted for being a Christian in America. And I just feel like if you go to, a third world country, and there's Christians there, it's just super encouraging. And just seeing their faith with what little they have, it means a lot, and it just impacts you in a different way than you would ever get in America or the United States.
Yeah.
I would echo Lottie, just go. Growing up in church, I've seen the missionaries and people come back from mission trips, and it's almost cliche. It's like, we don't realize how good we have it. Oh, this changed my life. Well, there's a reason they say that, because it's true. It does, and until you go and experience it, you really can't put it into words. So I highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, go. The word says to go. Mm. And so we go.
We go.
Yeah. Don't hesitate.
Yeah. Yeah, Matthew 18, it says, so Jesus came to his disciples and said, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He also commands, teach these new disciples to obey all that I've commanded and given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even into the end of the age. And so Jesus, before he left, he told his disciples to go. So either on mission, you either go or send, right? But going doesn't mean you have to go to a third world country. Going is wherever you are, like your neighbor, your friend on the soccer field, your counterpart at work. God uses his people who are planted. That's the beauty of the gospel. It's not dependent on one person. But one person, Jesus Christ, is the one who saved us, right? He's the reason we are able to do that. And he promised he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's always with us wherever we go. And we got to experience that and see that. And it was life-changing for each of us. And God's has done and will do a great work, not only in the 24 of us, but in his body around the world. And so I want to encourage Christ Point. Our purpose is to point people to Jesus. And we do that four ways, by, you don't know what the four are? Yeah, experiencing authentic community. Yeah, encountering the life-transforming power of the Word of God, right? Engaging all people and establishing a culture of joyful service. We got to do that this past week, but we get to do that all the time. And so, Melvin, we were driving to the airport. Melvin runs CIN down there. CIN has three locations. They have Honduras, and they have Chile and Bolivia. And we were just riding in the vehicle to the airport yesterday, and he said this. He said, I want to finish well and be well when I finish. So he's 60 years old. Carmen, how old are you?
I'll be 71.
You aren't supposed to ask someone that, but I just asked her.
I'll be 71.
She's like a 21-year-old. Like, she outworked all of us. I mean, literally, like, go. I mean, unbelievable. God has given you such a gift and strength. And when I think of, like, finishing well and being well when I finish, I think of you. I really do. Like, what God has done in and through you, like, what I observed, right, this past week, like, just your heart for the gospel, your heart for people. And I even have a belt that says Ocho on it right here. This is Ocho. You got to ask us about Ocho. Yes. It's pretty fun. We're grateful to God for you guys and the body, like, not only praying for us while we were there, but also sending us. We were the first day we were working, there was a pit that we were working on, and they were putting a septic tank in, and it was a really deep hole. I've never been in a hole that deep. It was 16 feet deep. It was 9 feet wide squared at the bottom, and we had to narrow it out. Now, we said, this is not safe. We want to be able to, like, help you guys make this safe and finish it. And so, because of the generosity of all who gave, It cost $1,604 to finish it. And so we had excess, talked to the GO team, and we blessed them with that excess to be able to finish that and make it safe. And so, like, we're so grateful to God. There's so much more we could share. But our mission field, when we landed, our mission field is here. Our mission field is here. It is there too, but our mission field is wherever we are. And so as you leave today, I want you to understand that, like, each one of you who have come to know Christ, like, God will use you wherever you are. And if you don't know Jesus, you're missing out because you can't do life alone. And the end is near. You aren't guaranteed another breath. And so my prayer, our prayer, is that for those who don't know Jesus, that you come to the end of yourself and you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because he's enough. He's enough. Nothing will satisfy. Nothing will satisfy. The more you have, the less you have. And we saw that. Poverty of spirit. Let me pray for us. Jesus, so grateful for how you use us broken people and vessels to do the work that you've called us to do wherever we are. I thank you for the team of 24 who went and just poured out. God, I pray that what they have experienced is not an experience. It's a part of their, like, this new season of life where they're like, I'm on mission to point people to you, God, wherever I am. Whether it's in a coffee shop, whether it's on the soccer field, whether it's at work, whether it's my neighbor, knowing that every interaction is eternal, that you created, you breathed life into everyone, and you've called us to go. And so, God, I pray that you would give us all eyes to see and ears to hear and the intentionality to move into people's lives and to not be hurried, but to live an unhurried life that points to you, Father. In your holy name, amen. Yeah, that's mine.
All right. I wasn't supposed to talk, but I had to talk after all that. So one of the things I found myself asking myself as I was looking around, it was in particular when we went Monday and Friday, we went into the villages, and every morning we did a devotion, and so different people talked to it, and it was really cool to see how God was, like, weaving all of our experiences together. Even though we had individual devotions and individual scriptures, like, you saw this thread of, like, how God was working through it so that he was unifying just not us as, like, 24 individuals, but, like, the people that we are engaging with. And I was thinking about, we keep talking about the team, like, the team went and got sent. And I definitely tell you, if you can go, right? It will have that impact. But I don't want to diminish the appreciation for those that financially gave and those that prayed, right? Is that in order for our physical bodies to go is because you sent us, right? And so don't diminish, like, when you think about, I wish I could go on that trip, like, I just don't think I can do it right now. Like, and you maybe say, maybe if I could go, I would ask for money, but I don't like doing that. You're not asking for money. You are asking for blessings. And if you think about it, if you just twist it, like, and say, I'm giving somebody else an opportunity to bless me that can't go. They can't physically go. So, like, when I go, I'm giving them a chance to do maybe what they want to do and let them work through you. Like, let God work through them to work through you. It's not about the 24 people that went. It's the body that moves together, right? And so I found myself in one of those homes, and I was just, it's destitute. That's the word, right? To watch a woman hold her child and to think, today it's not raining, so that's great that she can put the baby down on the floor so she can cook food. But when it's raining, she's got to carry the baby on her hip until it stops raining and then wait because the cool thing about Honduras, it'll downpour and it'll be dry an hour later. It just consumes water. That's why it's so green. It's awesome. But just to think of that, like, how do they survive? That's what God put in my head. Like, how do they survive? And for the Devo, we brought up Matthew 4:4, and it says, "But Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Awesome, right? To know that that's all we need. Phil said that's all we need. He's enough. His word is enough. But I had to gut check myself, right, and say, what am I doing looking at this destitution saying, how do they survive? How do I survive, right? How do you survive? What are you doing daily? It was awesome to go on a mission trip that had this beautiful schedule of living in God, right? It was played out for us as you're going to live through God, you're going to live through God, and then you're going to live through God all morning, every day. That's what you're going to do. How do I do that here, right? We didn't go on a mission trip. We are on mission, right? We need to be on mission. How are we living in God's word ourselves? When I wake up in the morning, how am I starting my schedule for the day of living through God? How am I doing that with my wife and my children, my neighbors, my congregation, right? So if you guys would stand and worship with me and think about where we're saying send me, but I love what Naya said, and I know it came from Billy Gwaltney. It's like, we're going to sing the words send me, but I want you to be thinking, God, stop me. Because I'm just going to move, and if I'm not supposed to, you will stop me. I'm not going to worry about how I move forward. I'm going to go. I'm going to move, right?